Next Step 211, June 21st, 2012.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the Next Step. Podcast about life and love, about spirituality. We're a podcast that's just about everything. About life, looking at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, and we call that Armadoxy. So we're inviting you right now to kick back, relax, join us as we take this next step. We're being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So let's take it's so good to have you with us today, and I want to thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful comments, all the email we received about last week's podcast. Yeah, that was a fun one, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a milestone. It was our anniversary, and I appreciate all the well wishes that came in. I've got to tell you, truly, on behalf of all of us over here, we are really touched by the comments that come in, and really it is a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to put together this podcast, to come out to so many of you, and I hope that we never take that for granted, just the beautiful privilege that it is. And I want to thank you. You've got to know what an honor it is. You know, it's not like a radio show. It's not like a TV show that's just out there. It's a podcast. It's selective, okay? So it means that, hey, if you want to listen to it, you have to go through some extra steps. You have to find a way of getting it to you, into your earbuds, into your car speaker, into your stereo. Here in California, we pass them out and in CD versions. I know there's a group that just doesn't get how to download it, and that's fine too. But the downloading is sort of exciting, isn't it? I mean, you have to. It's exciting, I think, when you've set it up, the RSS feed, you know, and then all of a sudden you just look at your phone or your device and everything, and there it is. There's the latest edition. You go, wow, okay, it came out. Or else if you're on Facebook and you see it coming up over there, it's an extra step. It's beyond just turning on a radio or TV stuff. It means you have to go through a process, and that means it involves an effort. It means you have to do something to get it, and we appreciate that. Because it also means that, hey, if you're taking that step, it means that there's some value to it. So I hope that we're worthy of that trust that you put into us. Okay, enough sentimentality. Let me get into some real big sentimentalities. I'm on my way, by the way, to Wisconsin. I'm going to be out at Milwaukee, and I've got an invitation by the kind priest over there to give the sermon this Sunday. Going for my wife's family reunion. Big family over there in Milwaukee, Racine area. A lot of Armenians over there after the Armenian genocide from Tomarza. They went out there, and my wife's family's from that area. They settled in that area, and, we're going back. It's been about 30 years since the family has ever has been together in such a large form. So we're going to go and meet cousins and neighbors and so many different people looking forward to it. So I'm in transit, actually. So you're getting this podcast, and then Susie is driving us right to the airport and door-to-door service. I mean, what a producer. I mean, can you find a better producer than that? No, no, no. And we're not looking, by the way. Anyway, I'm on my way to Milwaukee, but I did want to share with you a couple of beautiful stories that took place this week, and they both involve giving. And I want to just throw this out at you. I know a couple weeks ago we did a podcast with Linda on Compass, and it was an interesting question that she threw out there. And it's really been haunting me. Is it, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And she threw it out as, like, is that just cliche, or really, is there a blessing? Is it more blessed? Is it better to give than to receive? And it's been a question that has haunted me really my whole life, because I've played around with those ideas of giving, receiving, and taking. And at what point do you give? Does it really feel good? Or does it feel good to receive? I mean, come on. You've received a compliment. Somebody tells you you look good, something very superficial. Somebody says you spoke good. Somebody said you did well. I mean, think about when you were a kid. I mean, you know, you get an A. I mean, what if mom and dad don't encourage it? What happens? All of a sudden, you don't care. There was that encouragement. There's that incentive. There's that pat on the back. That goes a long, long way. I was just telling somebody the other day, I mean, well, something that's dramatically missing from our Armenian churches and found, like, you find it in the evangelical churches, you see it in many African American churches, where the congregation responds and gives you an amen, gives you a yes. The evangelicals, all the time, you know, the preacher will talk, and he'll even elicit it. He'll say, give me an amen. Tell me what you feel. Tell me how you feel about it. And that goes a long way. It's that amen that says, yes, let it be. I believe in it. I'm with you. And, well, that's basically a pat on the back. It's a reaffirmation of your faith, at least, at the very least. It also goes, you know, it's a reinforcing pat on the back. It's saying, like, yeah, you did well. Okay, give me some more. And those reinforcements are part of the giving process. It's also part of the receiving process. And we call that flattery. Hunkamunk, you know, what are you giving me? And how far does it go? Does it help me become a better person? Or does it sometimes stifle you? And sometimes, many times, I think, in Christian understanding, we've gotten the idea that you do something, you are the suffering martyr, and you're not looking. You know, obviously, Jesus says, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So don't look for those rewards over here. But is it really a reward when somebody says, you know, thank you, or okay, you did well. Keep going. Amen. I mean, those positive affirmations go a long way, and you know it. You know it. You know the difference when you receive a compliment, and sadly, you know it when you've received a criticism. They hurt. They hurt, don't they? So, we've been thinking about these ideas, and like I said, if you didn't check out that last Compass with Linda Zadoyan. It is on Epostle, and it is an interesting discussion. But let me add some to it, because a couple incidences happened, and I'm going to share with you a payback, 35 years later, a payback, okay? I'm going to share with you a delightful woman who we mourned the passing just a few days ago, and, well, in that, I think that there's so many lessons to be learned. So we're going to do that right after we come back. We start off every week with the song of the day. Today, I've picked out a very special one. Our dear friend Vahe, yes, the epostle.net Vahe, had cleared out his mom's CD catalog, brought me incredible, incredible CDs. So here's one of them, just a sample of some of the wealth at the beautiful epostle.net studio that we have, the wealth of music. Enjoy. Thank you. Belle. The sky has gotten cloudy. And that is off of a CD called Armenian Music for the New Age. Wow. How about that? We will definitely put a link on our show notes to that. A beautiful album. A lot of beautiful music, and we'll be sharing that in the coming weeks and coming months. A lot of it just... We increased our catalog by exponentially this week. So thank you, Vaya. Thank you, Mom, please, for these delightful, delightful tunes that we've got. And I hope you enjoyed it. And like I said, well, there'll definitely be a link on our show notes so you can check out all this kind of good music. And do support it. You know, it's really important. We put the links on the show notes. If you like the music, do support it by purchasing copies and letting them know that you heard it on The Next Step.
Spin me back down the years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing.
Okay, spin me back down. Let's go back in history. Let's go back in time. I'm going to share with you a debt that got paid 35 years later. And I got to pay it. This was last night, took place last night. An interesting opportunity for me, and it just came to me. It kind of fits in with what we've been talking about giving and taking. But let me share with you what happened. 35 years ago, I was a seminarian in Armenia. And Armenia was in the Soviet Union at that time. Yes, you probably haven't heard of that. Many of you said, what? What? What's a Soviet Union? Well, believe it or not, it was a very big, big part of our lives growing up. And it was always there that you had to deal with, reckon with. And of course, in Soviet society, being a communistic society based on Marxism and then Lenin and Stalin, some of their big leaders, and the amalgama of ideas and based on communism, they were definitely an atheistic country, right? Atheism was the way of life. And this is one of the problems that we're seeing now. Many people who've been brought up and grew up in atheism in Soviet Union are now being reintroduced to faiths that they have, not only in Armenians, but many of the other Soviet bloc countries that had Orthodox churches are now being reintroduced to the faith. And so back in 1977, I was a seminarian, and that might seem really strange, like a seminary in the Soviet Union. Well, yes, there was, and there still is, but in the Soviet Union, there was, in Holy Echmiadzin, the town of Varshabad, in Holy Echmiadzin, there was a seminary called the Gevorkyan Jemaran, named after one of the Katholikoi of the Armenian Church, Gevork. And so the Gevorkyan Jemaran serviced, and it still does, serviced the seminary, the needs of the Armenian Church. And at that time, it was very small. I think all the seminarians put together in all the classrooms there in the Kevorkyan Jemaran at that time, maybe 20, 25, maybe 30 of us there. I can't remember, but I would say easily not more than 30. And compared to today, where the Kevorkyan is a few hundred with the Sevan, the seminary at Sevan, the Vazgenyan Seminary. Now there's a new seminary. The name escapes me. And that's just in Armenia. And so the need, of course, warrants many, many more seats in those seminaries. But at that time, 1977, the venerable Catholicos Vazgen I, he was able to manipulate somehow this seminary, the actions of the seminary in that Soviet regime. So we had classes there. And I was a student. I went from America, where we had all of the freedoms, where we had just not only the freedom of speech and expression, but we had the freedoms of picking up and just standing up and doing what you want. I remember one day somebody told me, hey, you know, we have freedom here too. This was in Armenia, in the Soviet Union. And I said, well, how so? And he says, well, in your country, can you swear against the president? Can you say I cursed Jimmy Carter? And I said, yes, you can if you wanted to. And he says, well, we could do the same thing in the Soviet Union. I said, are you sure? I mean, isn't that like a one-way ticket to Siberia? He says, no, 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 no. He says, I can get up any time I want and say, I curse Jimmy Carter. And, of course, the joke is well taken, that you can say anything as long as it's in the confines of the Soviet bloc, as Moscow approves. Anyway, so we were in the Soviet Union in this seminary, kind of like an oxymoron, this conundrum, and here we are. And I was ordained a deacon there. Now, my grandmother, this is going back even further, this is going back to the time of genocide, was one of six children. And one of the brothers died, one of her brothers died. The other brother and the three other sisters went off to Greece. And my grandmother did, and from Greece my grandmother went to France, but the other ones in 1947 returned back to Armenia. So my grandmother's siblings and their families were in Armenia. Now one of my grandmother's sister's daughters, name being Alice, was a very devout woman. And when I was ordained a deacon, she made the trek. And this is called an ucht. It's a pilgrimage. She came by foot because it was her desire to see her cousins, basically my father would be her first cousin, to see her cousin's son receive that rank of deacon. And she came, she made that trek, she took a pilgrimage. She walked from Yerevan to Echmiadzin. I know by car it's about a half an hour drive, so do the math. I don't know exactly how many miles it is, but it's a trek. And she did it out of an act of love, an act of kindness, out of a respect for the church. And she was there. She came and she consoled me. Because as beautiful as Armenia was, as beautiful as the seminary was, as rich as it was, and really speaking to my heart, I was alone. I was alone. This American boy in the middle of Armenia, and sure, there were a couple of Americans there. There were a few Americans at the university. I was very fortunate that I had an American roommate, too. But still, you felt the loneliness over there. And you got to remember, you know, you're isolated completely. Telephone. I think that whole year I received one phone call, and that was just the fluke that I was passing by the only existing telephone that was in the hallway, and I picked it up, and there was a friend who talked to me. But that was it. I didn't hear the voice of my family for a year. Every letter that came to me was opened, was scrutinized. The coffee that my mom would send was taken out of the envelope. They inspected everything. They wanted to know. They know this. We're talking about censorship to the nth degree. So there was a lot of loneliness, and there was a lot of need for consolation, for a lot of need for friendship. And this cousin of my dad, who came all the way from Yerevan, consoled me. She passed away just a couple days ago. And I got the word of it. She and her family have lived in the United States, in the Los Angeles area, for the past 10 years. And last Sunday, I got word that she passed away. Now, the last time I saw her was at her husband's funeral just several months ago. I believe it's probably been about 6 months ago. She was very attached to him. Devout woman, came to church every Sunday, prayed, worshipped. But here's an interesting thing. She saw a lot in her life. She saw that generation after the genocide, having to start with nothing. She went to Greece, from Greece to Armenia, being fooled like many of the people who had come to Armenia, expecting that land of milk and honey, instead found it to be the Stalinist repressive regime, and having to deal with the difficulties in Armenia growing up, and yet having each of her children arrive at a place, teaching her children the values that were dear to her, and then coming to America. And in the interim, she lost one of her grandchildren, which took a big toll on her. And if anybody had said that there goes Alice, and she's bitter against God, I don't think anybody would have blamed her. But she was just the opposite. With all the difficulties that she had seen, she was one who praised God, who thanked God for the difficulties because it made her the better person. Not thanking God that, hey, my son died, my child died, but thanking God that you haven't taken away my wits. Thanking God that you haven't taken away my faith, because that faith is what's keeping me alive. I've been to the cross, and I know that I have a faith in that resurrection, that cross is not the end. You see, this is an incredible faith. This is a powerful faith. It's one that very few people have. And when you do have it, when you do recognize it, it's important that you seek it out and you pattern yourself after that. You find that as an example in your life. And so when I heard about Alice's funeral, it was very plain in my mind. I had to go to pay a debt. She had consoled me 35 years ago. She was there for me at a time when I was very alone. And now her family, having been brought up in that Soviet regime, and not really sure of what's going on faith-wise, needed a consolation. And that consolation wasn't from me. That consoling wasn't from me. It was from God. Because the passage that I picked out to speak at the funeral came to us from the Word of God. In the letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, sisters, concerning those that are at sleep. Listen to his words. I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be dumb about people who have passed away, as others who have no hope. Now that's really, really important. He doesn't want us to be sad as the other people who have no hope. And he continues, he says, for as we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too we believe that Jesus will bring back with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Now there's the words that console us. There are words there that are living words, that are living expressions, that you look at that cross over there and you better see that resurrection. And Alice saw that. Alice saw that resurrection beyond the cross. This was a woman of faith, and I wanted the family, I wanted the 200, 300 well-wishers that had come that day to console the family with their flowers and their sad expressions and their drinking beverages. I wanted them to know that Alice believed in something higher than that, higher than those flowers, than the rituals of going together and looking sad on these occasions. No. She had come to this world. She had practiced the faith in Jesus Christ. And now she had left that world as a victor. Not as a victim, but someone who is victorious over life. And so as the scriptures tell us, the Heavenly Father calls us home and says, come, my faithful servant, you've done well. And she did well. She did well by the standards of God, believing, trusting, and being there. And so what goes around comes around, yes, in a very positive sense. She came and she consoled me 35 years ago. She made that pilgrimage from Yerevan to Echmiadzin, and she was there for her cousin's son's ordination. And I went to this funeral, taking that message to the family, feeling that in a very, very small and humble manner, I was able to repay a debt that had been sitting with me. And to me, this is really what we're all called to do. Because the debts are all around us. Look around you. Look around people, the different people that have touched you at different points in their lives, that have been very important and instrumental in their lives. You may have not been able to pay them back immediately, a tit for a tat, but you know what? Someday you will be able to. And it may not be them, it may be to their children. It may be to their grandchildren. You don't know. But God will give you that opportunity to pay it back. And you need to pay it back. We all need to pay it back. Because it's not right. The beauty that has been given to us in life is not something for us to selfishly absorb, but it's for us to really spread, to share all of God's blessings, everything that God has given us, and those reactions, those actions that people have taken on our behalf, that have come up to us and approached us and given us the strength during difficult times. Many times they've been crutches for us, haven't they? They've helped us walk when we couldn't. And just like any other pair of crutch, we put them aside when we don't need them. You don't want to walk with crutches all the time, but those crutches are there. I'm not saying you need to say thank you to those crutches, but you need to acknowledge that they helped you, that they got you through some very difficult times, and look for opportunities. Look for opportunities because God will give them to you when you can pay it back. Perhaps not to the person, but pay it back to someone else. Someone in need. Someone who needs a crutch. Someone who needs to lean on somebody. Somebody who may be down, may not believe in themselves, may be lonely, somebody who has had a loss, somebody who is struggling with the difficulties of life. You have them all around you. The beauty of life has been given to you. You have an obligation to give it back. And a responsibility. The Christian is called to that responsibility. Giving. It feels good to give, because it also feels good to receive. Do you see how they play in? I received 35 years ago, and yes, it did feel great. And now I have an opportunity to give 35 years later, and it felt great. I hope you enjoyed that story. It was a very special one, and a very special way to mark a life, I think, to be able to talk about love, the love that never ends, the love that continues in other people, continues in people you may not expect. You just do the good work and let God do the rest. Huh? How about that? Well, we marked the passing of another dear friend who was filled with a lot of love. Her name is Frida. Actually, in Armenian, Azad, Azaduhi. Azad translates to freedom. I love that name. It's a 4th of July name, isn't it? Anyway, she was just a delightful lady. She passed at a nice old age of 93. Having seen grandchildren and having seen many beautiful memories, she does leave a legacy of a lot of love and a lot of compassion. And I remember her today because, you know, we do celebrate love. It is an ending of a life, and there is a lot of mourning, there is a passing, but I think that mourning is all about missing somebody. We all miss people. That's a human reaction. You miss somebody. But you can't mourn beautiful lives that are lived in love. And that's what we celebrate, the celebration of life. So I mention her because there's a lot to celebrate in life. There's a lot to be thankful in life. Thankful that we have people like this. Thankful that they have given us examples to live by. That's what we're about here at The Next Step, and I'm going to let, you know what, we're going to have to cut it a little bit early. Susie has just signaled me that, you know, as I told you, we're heading out to Milwaukee. She just signaled me that we've got to get on the road. So let me let Susie make her announcement right now, and then I'll be back with some parting comments.
Before getting back to The Next Step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The Next Step is entering homes and communities, proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vosken.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to that piano player. I don't know how we get him into this little studio that we're in today, but he is on his way out, and so are we. We're going to be heading out to Milwaukee right now, and I understand, from what I understand, in Milwaukee there's beer, there's the breweries, right? And there are cows there. In fact, one of the deals at my wedding was to find the cows. I mean, part of the dowry. Anyway, that's a long story. So we are going to go and search for cows, and listen to this. I understand that in Wisconsin there is even a small town called Armenia. So if all goes well, we're going to try to make a trek up there too. So what I'm saying is we're going to cut it short today, but we're going to expand it next week, and I hope that I'm going to have some great stories to share with you. This Sunday I'm going to be at the Milwaukee Church, Armenian Church. There is a Father Nadeg there, and the name of the church escapes me. He just got in touch with me and asked if I'd give the sermon. So I'm looking forward to being with the congregation there this Sunday, the 24th of June. So if you're out in that area, please do stop by. I would love to see you. Love to meet you. And to all of the rest of you who are listening, thank you for joining us today. Do check us out on all of our websites. We are at epostle.net, where you can find today's podcast, as well as all the other podcasts that we've done from the beginning of time. You can find Compass with Linda Zadoyan. You can find our sermons. Hey, by the way, a Father's Day sermon. Archbishop Vacha, he was at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, so he did a guest shot. If you check out this week's sermons from Glendale, you've got a guest preacher, none other than Archbishop Vacha Hovsepian, senior clergy of the Armenian Church. You won't want to miss that. It was pretty dynamic, I've got to tell you that. It was a very, very dynamic sermon, and you won't want to miss it. Do check it out. I got to warn you, though, a little bit in Armenian. And if you're not accustomed to the language, well, you'll get the gist of it just from all the yelling and shouting. But see, I prayed for an evangelical church where there'd be some amens. You're going to hear it there. Anyway, it's been a privilege to be with you today. Looking forward to joining you again next week. For the wonderful crew who put this together, and with her foot on the gas pedal, ready to take us to LAX Airport, on behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of Vahe, who does our web work, on behalf of Ani, who will join us again next week, this is Father Vosken inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew through vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.